This past week, I've noticed some cooler evenings. Maybe you have as well. Cooler evening. I think we actually turned the furnace on at one point, or made sure it was up and running for when it got cooler. Or in the morning, it turned the windshield and it wondering, is it frost yet? There's been some cooler evenings that tell me seasons changing. Fall is coming. Fall is here. Many of you are deep into the throes of sports, of school, of new commitments, saying yes to new things, no to old things. Many, many things change. Fall tells me seasons change. Well, by the way, Michigan State, and the Lions are all undefeated at this point. So, Lions play at one, though, so I got to get this sermon in here real quick. Change. Well, there's been a lot of that here at Zion this summer as well, saying goodbye and sending off two staff members. And as always, when you say goodbye to people, it's not the same without them. And so Zion is not the same without Joseph and without Trevor. And that can be, change as always can be very unsettling to some of us. Or it can be very upsetting to some of us. Change often affects us in many different ways. And many of you then have asked, in a church sense, what next? Okay, you know, where's God leading this place? Where do we go? We're understaffed now. What do we do? What's next? If you read the newsletter as it got to you, I said there's one word answer to that question anytime we ask, at least right now, what's next, and that answer is pray. And that should be the answer to anything big in life when something changes or we're not sure what's going on. First of all, pray. Pray. What next in your life? What next in your family or in your job or in school? What next? Pray. Pray first. We often pray last, right? I have nothing else better to do. I better pray about it. Well, pray first. Pray. Now, that's easier to say than do, isn't it? Prayer is an easy answer. We just say, oh, yeah, I'll pray about it. Oh, yeah, thanks, you're having a rough day, I'll pray for you. And it's easier to say than do because prayer is actually really hard work, isn't it? Prayer is really hard. It's much easier to just get doing, right? Some of you, if you have a lot to do, you make your list and think of everything that you possibly have to do, and then what do you do next? You figure out what to do, right? You want to check stuff off the list. That feels way more efficient than stopping and saying, all right, God, we're going to pray about this, right? Prayer, you don't get to check something off. I mean, sometimes I do actually put prayer on my to-do list, but then once I check it off, it's not like, you're like, oh, I guess I'll never do that again because I checked it off. Prayer is terribly inefficient, right? Because you're not just doing something, you're entrusting your whole life and your whole self to God. And that's what we're going to do as a church this fall. Today we're starting on the Lord's Prayer. We'll do that the next 2 weeks. And hopefully tonight, as I said, come to pizza and prayer night, and we'll do that. We'll eat pizza and we'll pray. And before, as a church, we make long-term decisions, we're going to pray. We're going to say, God, you have been faithful to us for so long. For we're starting to, this fall, celebrate our 125th anniversary. That's amazing. God's been at work here for over 125 years in this church, and the gospel has shown through and will shine through. We're here to say, God, we're your people, we're your church, you lead us. The most famous prayer, I'm pretty sure most of you know it by memory, the one that Jesus teaches his own disciples, even in Luke when they say, hey, Jesus, other people, disciples, they ask and they tell him how to pray, and how do you want us to pray? And Jesus tells his disciples, when you pray, this is how you do it. And the first words are, our Father. And you know what comes after that? Our Father, who are in heaven. Two parts to that. We'll talk briefly about both of those. Our Father, that's the who we're praying to. Who art in heaven, that's the where. Where is God? Who, our Father, that's who we're talking to. Who art in heaven, that's the where. Let's take the where first. If you were to ask you, or maybe ask your children, where does God live, what would you say? Or what would they say? Heaven. Yeah, it's probably what many of you would say. Okay, let's follow that. Wherever, now some people say, well, since we can't find it with a telescope, it must not exist. Well, God's got that one figured out, right? Wherever God is, is heaven, and wherever God is, there is a throne room. Revelation talks about that. There is a throne room to this universe. There is a throne, the control room. There is a throne where somebody is in charge of this whole world. And guess what? The throne is not empty. God is sitting on it. The throne is occupied. The throne of this universe, God sits on, our Father who rules and reigns lovingly. God is in charge of this universe and this world. Now, that can be difficult to see when you have seasons like people in Houston who have just lost everything in Hurricane Harvey, or people in Florida staring down Irma. And I know you've had seasons in your own life where you say, God, maybe you're not on the throne. Maybe it is empty. If you've had a season where you thought that's true, you're normal. That happens. But it's also true that God is on the throne. God is in charge of this universe. He is the king of this planet, of this city, of this neighborhood, of your family, and yes, of this church. And because God is on the throne, you can trust our Father. So that's the where. God is reigning on his throne. Now that gets us to the who. Who is our Father? When you pray, you don't pray to just anything or anyone. We don't use any word to talk to God. You don't pray to a tree or to a mountain or I don't pray to my dog as much as she probably wants me to get her more stuff. But no, you pray to our Father. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That's how God has revealed God's self to us. We have the perfect Father who is perfectly strong, perfectly caring, perfectly protecting and providing and encouraging and perfectly loving. Now, I realize that when I say that say you have a perfect heavenly Father, some of you say, yeah, I've heard it all before. Others of you are sitting there thinking, well, my earthly father wasn't that way. Some of you had earthly fathers who were overbearing or absent or even abusive, and then you might think that God is that way. Now, if that was your experience with your earthly father, I'm sorry. But I can also tell you that God isn't that way. God is the perfect Father, perfectly present and perfectly caring, perfectly loving, perfectly almighty and powerful, and perfectly with you, wanting to do best for you. Because perfect Father means relationship. You see, our Father is so loving that he sends his perfect Son into the world to rescue you. You and I we don't deserve to be children of our Father. We are made that because of the grace of Jesus. Because the Father sends his perfect Son into the world to die for you and to rescue you so that you can be made a son and daughter of the King, and then you can say, our Father. And because Jesus lived that perfectly for you and died sacrificially for you and rose victoriously so that you and I are restored back perfectly to our Father. You know what that means? That means you can trust God. You can trust our Father. Whatever that thing is that you've had a hard time trusting God, you can know that God was willing not even to spare his own son for you, that he might rescue you and bring you back. That's how much God was willing to put on the line to say, you can trust me. Whether it's a family thing or a life thing or a work thing or a school, whatever's going on that keeps you up and gives you anxiety, you can trust our Father. In your bulletin, you should have gotten one of these. Rustling is good news. Good news means you're looking. You might have to share pencils from the pew rack or grab your pen, but I want you to write something down. I want you to think about, as we talk about our Father, the goodness of, as we said in the small catechism, with these words, God tenderly invites us to believe that he is our true Father and we are his dear children so that we can, with all boldness, approach God's throne of grace. I'm going to write down where you want to or need to trust our Father. What's something going on in your life where you're tempted to hold on and harbor it and say, I'll deal with this on my own, or I'll do... It's a prayer. Write your prayer down. Where would you say, God, I want to trust you with this? Where do you want to or need to trust our Father? Write it down. you look up here, these are all the prayers from the first service. And we're going to add yours to that. So pass them down to the center. Don't put your name on them. Just put them in. And as you notice, they are colors of leaves, being the fall. And as the leaves are going to change, season's going to change, we get to look at our prayers in the hands of our Father who does not change, and our perfectly loving Father who stays the same, as the Word of God says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, forever. And so we're going to put these on the altar for the next 3 weeks as we are, and we'll add to them as we're in a season of prayer. And so we're going to say, God, here's what I want to trust you as our Father with. And I'll leave it on the altar too if you didn't get it, if you don't want to have it done in time. No problem. So I know you've said the words, Our Father, many times. Hopefully, this gives you something to think about as you say it again and say, God, you are perfectly trustworthy, and I can trust you with everything. And as we see, notice the bowl, there are grapes on it. So we're going to transition from here into the Lord's Supper. And that is, you're going to see these on the altar, given prayers we are praying to our Father, and our Father is going to return the favor by sending the body and blood of his Son Jesus to strengthen and forgive us. Pray with me. Our Father, help us to trust you and trust your goodness and trust you with everything, be it our lives, our work, our family, and our church. You are guiding us and you have our best interests in your mind. And so, Lord, help us to trust you with these things and we look forward to seeing your faithfulness shine through. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you stand as we continue in the prayer of the church? Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. We pray for all the little ones who believe in you, the youngest members of our congregation, as well as those of every generation who are called your children. Bless parents, pastors, teachers, and others to teach your truth and your ways, that we may grow in Christ's forgiveness and live as your children. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those in need of healing in mind, body, and soul. Lord, we lift them up either out loud or silently. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Thank you. You may be seated.